morning. My name's Ted Gill. I'm glad and honored to be able to share Easter service with you. Russ and Sari, actually Russ asked me before they went on sabbatical if I would do it. And so for at least the last 4 months, I've been working on this. I hope it sounds like it. Resurrection Sunday. So after looking and studying, and you realize that Resurrection Sunday starts in Genesis and finishes somewhere around Revelation. I've trimmed it down just a little bit. Let's see. So, that's a microcar. I don't get it. I've seen more and more of them. Still don't get it. I don't think I can fit in one, actually. I just came back from Europe, and they're all over the place. I still don't get it. I don't know why. Look at that thing. Hey, look, if you have one, I'm not getting on you. You're probably the most interesting person in here today. I want to talk with you if you got one. But personally, I don't get it. But it's a microcar, very popular. That baby I like. This is an earth mover. You actually have to take stairs to get to the steering wheel on that thing. I love it. I wish it came in like a candy apple red. Nobody would ever cut me off on 21 again. The whole turnpike would be mine. I can see Mackie trying to get into that thing now. But of course, I got to get up and open up the door. But you see how huge that thing is? It's absolutely incredible. That I think I can fit in. It's the earth mover. I'll get back to this in a little bit. Let's go to the scriptures. We're going to be in Luke. And fortunately, God has been setting everything up because that's pretty much where we started out this morning. Luke 24, we'll begin in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. So these were the women. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women were with them. We're telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes, the cloths. So he went away amazed at what had happened. Now, I can't tell you exactly how many times I've read this scripture, but it's a lot. A whole lot. I've been to a lot of Easter services. I've read my Bible quite a bit in these. Well, I got baptized in 1986, so you do the math. But this, it was a part in this scripture that just floored me. It just stopped me. And I had no idea why, but I read it And it floored me, and it almost brought me to tears because I looked at it and I said, wait a minute, was this always there? It says, but these words seem like nonsense to them. And they did not believe the women. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? I'm like, wait a minute now. These are the same women that have been a part of Jesus' ministry. You know them. They've been with you. They've been serving Jesus. And you don't believe them? How is that possible? And then I just had to step back and I said, okay, what's up with this? Because the scriptures really don't get much more into that particular piece about like how the women felt. You know, it doesn't get into that. But I know how I felt when I read it. I was just like, man, really? After all this time, you don't believe me? And then you realize that, hey, you know, during the first century, you know, they didn't really pay much heed to what women said. Sounds kind of familiar even today. Women still looking to be heard and recognized and brother validated. I like that. I'm going to use that. But even today, I mean, it was even back then, it wasn't, they weren't listened to. But this is Resurrection Sunday, and everything has changed. All the norms, everything has changed because Jesus appeared to the women first. Now, Jesus totally knew, you know, all the regulations and all of the stuff that was going on in society then, and he knew. I'm sure that Peter and John were going to be showing up at some time, even though late. I mean, they were coming. He could have appeared to them. He did not. He did not. Not there. He appeared to the women first. Because the women showed up just like they had always been doing. Even though they were full of sorrow and sadness, they wanted to do one last thing for Jesus. They wanted to bring the perfume and the spices because they knew that's what his body needed. And it doesn't say so, but hey, I'm connecting the dots. They're doing something beautiful for Jesus. Jesus did something beautiful for them. Here I am. I'm risen. And then Jesus says something that totally broke all their norms. He says, I want you to go back and tell the brothers. Because they ain't here. I want you to go back and tell the brothers. He knew that was breaking all the norms. But equality in Jesus, Resurrection Sunday. The Spirit of the Lord rests just as powerfully on the women as it does on the men. Brothers, I want to make sure you hear me on that. Just as powerfully on the women as the men. He knew he was breaking all of that. They didn't believe him. Some of it was, this is too incredible. Some of it was, you're the women. And there is nothing more frustrating than not being listened to. Now, I know that we take it a little differently. There's nothing, and I just got to go with me now, okay? It's just like, okay. There's nothing that frustrates my wife more than when I don't listen to her. She's in the back, ask her. If there is such a thing as a last nerve, that will get on it. And if I really want to double down, it'll just go on and back and forth, and then she'll ask me that terrible question. What did I say? And I'm going like, oh, man. And what did you say? And I can double down and blurt something out. And the answer is always the same. That's not what I said. And I go, okay. But it frustrates her. And it's just like, no, are you listening? Brothers, we have to listen to our sisters. I know she's my wife, but she's my sister in Christ. And so in Christ, we're equal. Hey, we may have different roles, responsibilities, but in Christ, Brothers, I'm just wondering. I'm not saying we don't, church. I'm saying, like Paul would say, we need to do it more and more. Amen? It's Resurrection Sunday. Everything has changed. Let's imitate these guys. Let's go. Next one. Went too far. That's it. Are you walking with Jesus? We'll stay in Luke here for a little bit. Luke chapter 24, 13. It says, now the same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, are you only a visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days? What things, he asked them. So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and elders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see him. They had hoped that Jesus would do something. Let's go on for a little bit. Next verse, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther, but they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. See, that's an amazing encounter with Jesus. But the question we always have to ask is, what are you hoping for? How do you see Jesus? They were with him. They were his disciples. They had seen all the miraculous things. They knew he was powerful, but they didn't understand who he was. They were hoping for something else. And Jesus comes along and he says, you know what? How foolish you are, and slow to learn. And then he took them to the scriptures. See, when I said I could have started in Genesis, I wasn't kidding. Jesus took them to Genesis. And he explained it all through what we call the Old Testament. And he helped to connect the dots for them. But he says, how slow and how foolish you are not to believe the scriptures. Now, Jesus could have appeared to them in many different ways. He could have just said, hey, here I am. Look, look, hey, it's me. He took them to the scriptures. And folks, that's what we've got today. So it's not by coincidence that's what he did, because if you're going to get to know Jesus and you're going to get to understand him and what's going on in the world and around you, if you're going to base your hope in something, it's got to be the scriptures first, because that's how you get to know God. And after you get to know God through the scriptures, you'll get to know his power through the resurrection, and you're fine. What are you hoping for? These guys were discouraged because their hope was in something else other than scriptures. They didn't get it. And Jesus was not going to do some miraculous thing, even though disappearing is pretty good. He didn't depend on that, because, you know, you can figure, hey, you know, stuff comes and goes. Maybe it was something in the wine. I don't know. But we have the scriptures. They don't change. And he kept pointing them back to the scriptures. You see, are you walking with Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? It takes time. It takes some patience, it takes some observance to kind of understand what that is to walk with Jesus. They needed help to understand it. We all needed help. If you're sitting here as a disciple of Christ, you needed help to understand what you were being called to. I know you did, because you studied just like I did. I had the Bible, didn't know what the heck it was talking about, and somebody sat down with me, spent time, and said, hey, look, read the scriptures here. Now look at your life. Put the two together. Where are you? Okay, you're not there. What do you want to do? You looked at sin. You looked at what repentance was. You looked at what following Jesus was. And you looked at what the Bible said, and you said, hey, it says, you know what, you need to repent. You need to make Jesus Lord. And we all said that same good confession. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. And then we got baptized. If you're sitting here today as part of this church, you went through that. I know you did. May have taken you a long time, some of you. I know some of you took a long time. But it did. It finally got there. Sometimes you need help, and you just kind of have to go after it. You see, because you want to be walking with Jesus. You want your eyes to be open so that you can see what he's doing. It's like they talked about in the beginning. It says, you know, if two or more gather in my name, he's here. But do you see it? Are your eyes open to it? And when you come to church and when you're in the fellowship, do you see Jesus? Or do you see just the folks around you? Do you see him? Are you in difficult times and you're thinking that, well, I'm alone and, you know, I just got to kind of work this out? Do you see Jesus? Do you understand? Have you the scriptures? You're not alone. As a disciple, you will never be alone again. You got three people with you all the time. And I ain't talking about you. You got three other people. It's not me, myself, and I. No. It's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. And then there's you. You're never alone. Never, ever alone again. But are your eyes open? It's Resurrection Sunday. Are you walking with Jesus? I always got to look back. Because I got to get these two things synced up. I'm looking at something different than you guys are. Do you have an open mind? Let's continue reading. It says, as they were saying these things, he himself, that being Jesus, stood in their midst. He said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled, he asked them. And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. This is I, myself. Touch me and see. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. Having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, but while they still were amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, you got something to eat? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He told them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead and the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There's a lot going on here, but the cool part is that Jesus says, hey, look, you see that flesh and bones? I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Feel me. Touch me. Now, it's really interesting he said flesh and blood. Like, we always say flesh and blood. He didn't need blood. He said flesh and bones. I have a body. I got a new body. You're going to get a new body. Not going to be about flesh and blood. It's going to be about an indestructible body. It's Resurrection Sunday. Everything is different, guys. But I still want something to eat. I'm hungry. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But he said, but he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Do you still have an open mind to the scriptures? See, because there's a lot of things that can shut it down. Oh, I know the Bible. I'm done. I'm good. Read it through, back to front. Got it. Done. Traditions can totally shut our minds down to what the scriptures are saying. Do you have an open mind to still open up the scriptures and see what God is telling you now? Because even though it's the same words, you're in a different place, and so it means something new. Are you still having an open mind to that? You had an open mind when you got baptized. Still got that open mind? Still looking to learn? Still looking for help? That's the only way you're going to get there. Jesus had to open their minds. When you sit down and you spend time with God and you get into your Bible, Jesus will open your mind. He will. I guarantee it, he will. But you still have to have an open mind. You have to want it. You have to go after it. It's just not, dare I say, campus, put the book under the pillow and hope that osmosis something comes in. Please, Lord, give me something here. You got to go after it. Do you still have an open mind to the scriptures? You're blessed. If you're sitting here today, learning about Jesus, knowing Jesus, you are blessed. Over here in John chapter 21, it says, but Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, if I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, put my hand into the side, I will never believe. A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. Thomas responded to them, my Lord and my God. Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us. Now, Thomas is one of those kind of guys where, hey, look, Thomas. But I can also imagine the sisters looking and say, yeah, you know what? That's what we felt like. Because they were like, you ain't believe much. He ain't believing you either. How you like that? How you like that? No, he said, I never believe in you. See, now the sisters were more spiritual than I am. They probably didn't say that, but they may have been thinking it. And it was just like, yeah, that don't feel so good, does it? And sisters, I got a message for you too. I don't want to think that I left you out, but there's a lesson to learn here. Sometimes Jesus just has to fix the brothers. You can only do so much. You can say what you can say, you can do your piece, but then you got to leave Jesus to show up and get us straight. Because he rests powerfully on you. He also rests powerfully on us. We take more work. It's okay. He's going to have to show up and fix us. Don't give up on the brothers. Don't give up on us. Don't give up on us. Jesus, it took another week. I mean, Jesus had places to go, things to do, and he took another week, and he said, let me go talk with Thomas. I got to help this dude out. See, Jesus will fix us. He'll fix all of us. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're not believing. Like, no, Jesus, you're going to have to do something extra because I'm struggling here. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll give you whatever kind of proof you need. Because he's like, you know what? I want to believe that Jesus was here, and this is what it's going to take for me. Jesus knows what it's going to take for you, and he will do it. But still, you're blessed. Sometimes it may not feel like you're blessed. Trust me, you're blessed. Back to my cars. Let me tell you something. We are wonderfully made. We have the essence of God within us. And there are things that just flow, right? It's just like we want to live forever. We want to live forever and we don't want to grow old. We want to live forever, don't grow old, and have health all our lives. We want a lot of stuff. And that's a piece of God. We were meant to live forever. We are going to live forever with him. That's part of that essence. The other thing is that God has put something in us so that no matter how big and wonderful it is, we can wrap our heads around it in time. Just like the same guy who drives that micro car can get out of it, get into that earth mover, and drive that baby also. The same person can do that. Get out of that little car, get into that big one, and drive it. And after about a year or two of doing that, you know what? That's going to be ho-hum. They're going to go to work and like, yeah, got to go to work. Got bills, got to go to work. And then you go with them one day and you go like, wait a minute, you drive that? And they're like, yeah. But, you know, after a while, you know, it's dusty, dirty, you know, it's a job. But, dude, you drive that? Dude, it's a job. It's all right. Can't wait to retire. That's the part we have to be careful of. That no matter how great and awesome something is, you spend enough time around it, it can become like every day. You gotta fight to keep the awe and awesome. If not, Easter is just another day. You gotta fight for this. You gotta fight. But God knows it. He says here in Luke, he says, look, when you take this bread, that's why we do the communion. We do it every single Sunday. We break the bread. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He could have said, yeah, do it in remembrance of me because I know you're going to forget. But he didn't do that. But he knows how we're made. He says, you know what? I'm going to put something in place so you can remember, so you can commune with me. That's why we encourage people to get into their Bible every day so you can commune with God. So you don't forget. So that Easter Sunday isn't just another day. Like they said in the beginning when they were sharing, right? It's like, it's Easter Sunday. This is Resurrection Day. Don't leave it here. Keep the awe and awesome. Hey, look, thank you so much for letting me share today. Thank you so much if you're visiting, if you're on Zoom, wherever you are. Thank you so much for letting me share today. It's Resurrection Sunday. The power of God is all around us. Jesus is alive and well today. Thank you very much.